So this is what our next series will be, digging into God's Word. There's many good reasons not to read the Bible. And those reasons must be good enough because many Christians don't read the Bible. You know, there must be many good reasons not to do that. I don't know the exact statistics. They vary from percentage points to percentage point, but truth is that most of Christians who call themselves Christians don't read the Bible, not at least on a regular basis, and have a very little idea of what the Bible really is all about. But there's also many good reasons to read the Bible. You can read the Bible to seek information, you know, to find out some things about what the Bible says about a certain topic, a certain subject, and you go through the leaves of the Bible and try to find out what it says. You can read the Bible for pure entertainment. We'll come to that later on, but you can read for entertainment, you know, just to be entertained and read a good story, and the Bible has good stories. You can read them because you have some scientific concerns about the Bible, about the creation story and other things that are unscientific. You can read it to criticize it, to take it apart. You can read it because it's your duty, because somebody and somewhere you were told you need to read the Bible in a regular basis, so you do it faithfully. And since you're a rule follower, you have also a little booklet where you can mark off what you have read every week. And you can be proud of yourself that you have read through the Bible 5 times or 6 times or 10 times. So please don't get me wrong. I have nothing against reading the Bible. But it also depends on what the Bible really does to me and what role it really plays in my life. There's more to it than just reading it. Today we have just listened to a text from a letter that James wrote in the early days of church. And one of his concerns in his text, as you may have picked up on this text, is how to become a doer of the word. So it seemed to have been the problem then already that people did not do what God told them to do. And you also have to remember when he talks about doing the word of God, that he was not thinking of the Bible in those days, because it didn't exist at the time. There were just letters out there, and even the Old Testament was still in the process of being formed as a collection of books. So we often read these texts, and then we read into them already what we know and where we come from, and then have our interpretations of this text. So in those days, they did not have a written book that we will call the Bible. There were letters out there. Some of them of Paul that were already circulating. Maybe when James wrote this text, there were maybe, we're not 100% sure about the dating, there were probably some of the Gospels already out there that were circulating in the early churches. But the Word of God per se came to them mainly in preaching. And when they came together and then they came to those places of worship, and somebody who knew the text, who were able of reading the text and interpreted the text, and they heavily relied the testimony of the apostles, because they were the eyewitnesses of Jesus. And what they had to say, that's what they relied on. And that was communicated by word, by just listening to that. And so the word was out there, and that's what they were knowing as the word of God. And the problem that they faced then and now, that people may have heard it, but didn't do what they needed to do. So he had to address some of the issues. And if you read the letter of James, you will find it a very practical letter. It's not one of those that is very complicated like other books in the Bible, that when you start reading them, you just are discouraged right by the first 2-3 sentences. Feel like, ooh, that is way too complicated. But he's very practical. It's actually one of those wisdom books in the New Testament where he shares a lot of wisdom, a practical wisdom, what we need to do, and uses a lot of his knowledge of the Old Testament in his book to write this to the early Christians that he is addressing the letter to. So how do we deal with the issues? One other issue, for example, that he also addressed in our text is anger. Yeah, we are supposed to be slow to speak, ready to listen, quick to listen, slow to anger, because anger does not do what accomplishes, or it doesn't accomplish God's will. So how are we doing this? How are we becoming people who are doing the word of God, who are doing what he needs to do? So first of all, I would suggest the first thing he says to us is deal with your issues. Deal with your issues. He writes here, and I read it again, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." So he gives very general advice, and I think it's good to heed advice. Be slow to speak. Later on, he picks up this theme in his letter and talks about what the tongue is all able to do and how much damage we can do by what we speak. And instead of speaking, we are supposed to listen, to learn to listen. Anyone who goes to premarital counseling here at Grace Point will at least hear about active listening. Many marriages could be saved if we learn active listening. Listen what the other person says. Truly listen. Active listening is actually repeating what he says. I hear you say this and this. Is this correct? So listening is good. Very good. Very good to listen and take time to listen to one another. And then he comes to talk about anger. Anger. Be slow to anger. He doesn't say that we should not be angry, because that's not possible. Anger is a very natural reaction that we have if things do not go our way. And we even read, and that's why we often make the distinction between human anger and godly anger. By the way, in this text, you may have read it here in the NIV, it says human anger. It doesn't say in the text, actually, human anger. But they make this distinction because there's also a godly anger that we also know. It's written in the Bible, and Jesus had one of those. You know, when he got angry when he went to the temple, and they misused the temple. So anger is a natural reaction to something that is opposing to us, that hurts us. And in some ways, it's good that we are capable of feeling anger. But he says anger in itself does not accomplish what is good. It says it more complicated, doesn't accomplish the righteousness of God. But it doesn't do the right things. It doesn't do the right things. So what he says to us is, first of all, if you become a person who wants to listen to the word, read the word, deal with your issues. And here the Bible becomes actually a dangerous book. It is not just a book that keeps us where we are. It's a book, if we really take it serious, it will change us. It will talk to us. It will speak into our lives. So deal with your issues. Why? Because you don't naturally do what God desires. Deal with your issues because you do not naturally, by nature, do what God desires. It's not like that we are born in a way that we naturally always do at all points and all times what God wants us to do. We don't. If you have had the privilege of raising children, you will know what I'm talking about. Now we experience our grandchildren, and it's amazing for me to see how quickly they learn to lie. We haven't taught them that. I haven't told them, hey, you should lie. When you get this question, you should lie. It's a good way to get out of it. They just do it. It almost seems natural that this is a response, you know, in a certain circumstance, that they think I'm better off when I lie and I get out of this. Did you touch this? No, I didn't. But this is how we are. There is in us. We are not inherently doing what God wants us to do. And that's one of the issues that James is addressing. He says in the text in verse 20, one more time, because human anger does not produce righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and all the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word that's planted in you, which can save you. There is obviously a lot of filth and wickedness in our lives. That's how the Bible describes it. These things that we will find in different actions, like lying and cheating and doing evil things to other people for our own advantage, and all the other things that we can, the whole list that we can, that could follow. That's behavior that we learn. We learn this kind of behavior over time. Not also because we have bad examples, but we are prone to do that from our own instinct. And then we also see examples around us, how the world functions around us and what works and what doesn't work. That's behavior. And the things and behavior that we do without much thinking is character. That we do habitually, that nobody talks about much, we just do this. How I react to certain things. That's what I do with if that happens to me. That's character. Now, the good news of the Bible is that we matter to God, that every person matters to God, no matter what character you have, no matter where you come from, no matter what you've done. You matter to God. And He invites you into His kingdom just as you are. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to become neat and tidy. You just come, and He comes and seeks you out and